Is Montana in the Midwest or out of the Midwest? Nobody knows.
Every state that's not on the East Coast or West Coast sounds like a Midwest state.
Is Tennessee a part of the Midwest?
North Dakota, South Dakota.
These are easy because they're pretty much the same thing.
I hope I know where Iowa is. I've been there.
Iowa. Oh, boy.
Wait, is this a state?
What is water?
This is water.
Iowa can be any one of these.
I'm going to guess this is Iowa right there.
Iowa is right there.
Ohio.
Ohio?
Ohio seems weird to me, so I just thought it was over here.
Illinois is going to be right here. Bingo.
Wisconsin.
This is Wisconsin?
I'm pretty sure this is Wisconsin. I know it's kind of close to the top.
Minnesota.
I think we share a border with Canada. I don't know.
Okay, so Minnesota's there, and then this is Idaho.
Idaho is there.
Idaho. I'm just putting this here. This looks like a great spot for some potatoes.
So where does Indiana go? I'm actually confused now.
I forgot about Indiana.
Is Indiana in this?
Wait, Missouri isn't one of these, is it?
I'm almost 100% sure Missouri's a southern state.
This is Missouri. I know this is Missouri because I met a lot of wonderful people from Missouri.
Nebraska? What? I thought Nebraska...
Kansas is there. No, it's not. It's here.
Yep. Arkansas. Is that in this?
As most Midwesterners can attest, West Coast people and East Coast people know nothing about the Midwest.
Dakota. Like, look how big Minnesota is. I feel like they could have just made one big Dakota.
Welcome to Flavor Living Radio. This is Bryant, your host. Welcome to our show, and we hope you've had a great weekend here. As you know, we're towards the end of August, and on our show, we tried to bring some great topics, and I was thinking for our show this week, we wanted to go to the Midwest. Last week, as you tell, we went to Iowa. We spoke with Arlette. She is the superintendent for the Iowa State Fair. And man, even our guest today spoke about Arlette from the Iowa State Fair. So our guest today, we have Catherine Lambert. She is from Illinois, Chicago. She's in charge of the Greater Midwestern Foodway Alliance. See, my thought was like a lot of people, there's different regions of the United States where foods come from many different backgrounds. When we go to the grocery store or we go to a restaurant, many different nationalities, backgrounds have contributed to our foods cooking everywhere. People from who are here in the United States, people, immigrants and people from different countries contribute big time to our foods, to our way of cooking and eating. And we had to go to the Midwest to kind of start it off because this is the home of many styles of foods. And you can, a lot of the foods there, you can only get there. So we had to find an expert who knows the history of the Midwest foods and cooking there. And Catherine is an expert. You know, I tested her. I threw out many. I said, how about Illinois? What do you think about Illinois? She was like, this. And then I said, how about Ohio? Wham. How about Michigan? She knew all the areas about what's happening there, the history up until now of current trends of what's happening in the Midwest. You know, I used to live there in Cleveland, and I stayed there for a couple of years. I loved the food when I was there. Very hearty, pastrami sandwiches, just really good food. They like cooking there in Cleveland and farming there in Cleveland, in the city, outside the city, a great city, cool city. But we had to go back to the Midwest and talk about what's going on there. Now, our next shows, as we continue with Flavor Living, as far as our roadmap, we're going to have other areas we want to showcase, like the Southeast, foods from the Southeast, from the Northeast. You know, oyster clam soup from the Pacific, you know, from Southwest Texas. So we want to cover all angles of the United States and abroad. But for a couple of weeks, we're going to do kind of like a series. Every now and then you're going to hear a series about foods from different regions. and we go to the Midwest first. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our first guest for our first part series, Catherine Lambrook. And we hope you like. Here is the interview with Catherine.
Her last name, make sure.
Catherine Lambrook.
Catherine Lambrook. On the phone with us from the Midwest, and she's going to tell us about the history of foods in the Midwest, the Midwestern states. How are you doing? Welcome to Flavor Living Radio.
Oh, I'm just fine. And yourself?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. How's the Midwest doing?
Oh, right now here, at least in the Chicago area, we're having a cooling off period over between different heat, between different, you know, hot weather and humid temperatures. And, it's wonderful that you're, you know, traveling a little bit east of this case. And I saw that you talked to my friend Arlette last week.
Yes, wow.
What
an honor. She was just really telling us about the different foods there. And you were telling me beforehand about just people what she's done for the State Fair.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, she has really built up that food department. She's made it far more, I would say, financially attractive for people to be involved.
Mm.
And because of her hard work, as I told you, somebody donated perhaps $1 million toward building a nice new facility for the food arts department. Because she's really done a lot of work, and she's also cultivated a lot of sponsorship, probably bringing people on that never even thought that they would do sponsorships at state fairs.
And she's very humble about it, you know, for her to be in charge, the superintendent, as far as everything that she's done there in Iowa, you know?
Well, that's sort of typical of the Midwest is,
okay.
You know, we kind of are modest.
You're like, that's our shit.
You know,
that's
why
what
anybody can do that. Why should I say anything more, you know?
Well, I mean, as far as looking at the Midwest, you know, can you tell us, I was looking at the Midwest, and I saw there's a lot of people from different countries that influence Midwestern foods, from immigrants and different cultures that influence the Midwest.
Well, in fact, that's kind of one of the reasons why it's sometimes difficult to identify what is Midwestern cuisine, because there is so many different influences, and some of them, I would say, there's regional, and then there's micro-regional, because this happens to be where you live, and this happens to be what people like, but you go outside of that, and people don't know what you're talking about.
So most, you're saying, if you're from the Midwest, we understand that. We have people from the year understand as far as what's going on, as far as the different cultures.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, and then, of course, things evolve. I mean, you know, you have a lot of Minneapolis, St. Paul is known for having a lot of Swedish influence, but there's also a lot of Ethiopians there. Or you go to some place like Fort Wayne, Indiana, and, you know, there's a lot of English and Scotch and those kinds of heritage, but in the last 15 years, there's suddenly a lot of Burmese. So, you know, we truly are the melting pot here in this region, I mean, in the Midwest, maybe even more so than other parts of the country where there's a concentration, a large concentration of an ethnic group. In a sense, we're all ethnic because, you know, we all came here except for the Native Americans.
True. Very true. There are, I guess, three major lakes there that are coming in from the, as far as the major lakes that encompass the area.
I mean, you have the Great Lakes, which truly is a great inland ocean.
Yes.
You know, it's not a surprise that the Navy training facility is on Lake Michigan. Because if you're on Lake Michigan on a storm, it is not a friendly place to be on.
Yeah, you have the Great Lakes, you have the Mississippi River, Missouri River, and the farmlands that are there.
And the Ohio River is no slouch either. I mean, these are major rivers where a lot of navigation happened. In fact, a lot of, you know, I was reading something, and they were very surprised that there were certain foods here in the Midwest so early on. Well, because of New Orleans and the rivers, you know, things traveled up and down those rivers that might not have, you know, again, Midwest being a kind of a transportation focus.
Yep. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight. We would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We certainly hope you all enjoy the show. And remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there's still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody. Everybody.
Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody to love. Someone to love.
Someone to love.
Sweetheart to miss.
Sweetheart to miss.
Sugar to kiss.
Sugar to kiss.
Welcome back to the flavor. Welcome back to the flavor here, here on air, and we hope you're liking our show. I always say that because I want you guys. I want to give my best, and you guys give me ideas on our social network, our Facebook, Twitter, email, and I do got a surprise later on at towards the end of our show. Something that happened. I received an email, and we took the suggestion from the email. We're gonna have this idea on our show today here in August. Well, we have to go back to Catherine, and she talks about the Midwest.
You know, I wanted to go through and see about just different areas in the Midwest and just kind of touch on those areas. And you said you're in
the Chicago area.
How about Chicago? I know they have the pizza there. Pizzas from there, Greeks from there.
Yeah, I mean, the deep dish pizza, a lot of people who are local actually prefer often the thin crust pizza.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like it all. Give it to me. I'll eat it. You know, not a problem. We have Italian beef here. We have certainly a rich, robust hot dog culture.
You do? Really?
Oh, yes. And, there's the Chicago-style hot dog, which in this case would be, you know, a Vienna hot dog. It would be on a bun with poppy seeds. And then there would be mustard. There would be a neon green relish. There would be celery salt, pickle slices, tomatoes, generous amount of onions, but no ketchup. And sometimes
No ketchup.
It's fine if you're under 18 years old, but once you've reached a certain age...
You're like, Brian, let's get with the program.
And have no ketchup.
Okay, all right.
And in fact, it can happen that when you do order ketchup, you'll get the customer standing next to you going, are you kidding?
Yeah, like you're in Chicago. You know?
Right.
At least I know before I get there, you know, visit Chicago, you know, and I know that, you know, see the Blackhawks and the Bulls.
There's even some places where if you want ketchup, well, there is a McDonald's down the street. You could go there. That's what they'll tell you. So, yeah, there's a big hostility when it comes to ketchup on your hot dog. Though I have to tell you, my own parents put ketchup on a hot dog.
Okay, I will not tell anybody.
They just blew it, right?
Yeah, I won't tell anybody. I'm going to go there. When I go to Chicago, I'm going to have my secret compartment. Let's go to Michigan, the Michigan area. This area is like with foods, that, you know, Keebler.
But by the way, Michigan has its own hot dog style. They have the Coney dog.
Yes,
and if you go to Flint, it's made one way, and if you go to Detroit, it's made slightly differently.
This Coney dog has expanded outside of New York and to air.
No, this is not the same thing. This has to do with immigrants from Macedonia. Sometimes they're referred to as being Greek, but more often, and there are some Greeks, but more often they're Macedonian.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a sauce with, I think, depending on where it goes, it can be made with ground up beef heart.
Wow.
It doesn't always have beans. It's a sauce that you put on your dog, and you'll get it in Cincinnati. You get it in the Detroit area.
Oh.
But it's not. And I recall reading where they were the name Coney Island. It was named that because that seemed kind of exotic.
Oh.
You know, New York-ish, but it has nothing to do with New York hot dogs.
Right. It's like it's Michigan, and it had some roots.
And Ohio, you can find Coney dogs here. Not so much directly in the Chicago area. Well, you can find it in the Chicago area, but I find quite a bit of it when I go into Northwest Indiana.
Wow. How about Kansas City with the barbecue there?
Well, there's barbecue, though I have to tell you, and I was just in Kansas City when I went on a state fair tour about 10 days ago, and I went with a friend, and we didn't do barbecue this time. This time we did smashed hamburgers. The reason we started this off was because somebody had claimed that Illinois was the birthplace for this style of hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of a Depression-era style hamburger, and they'll put a small ball of meat on the grill and then press it down hard and just push it in where it has the edges are kind of like are crisp and lacy, and the center can be a little bit thicker, but depending on who's making it, it can also be just as thin as the rest of the burger, but caramelized. So, yes, there is lots of barbecue to be found in Kansas City, but there's also some interesting, distinctive hamburger styles there, too.
When you were talking about hamburger, I just listened. I just listened to everything you said. I didn't say anything.
Let me tell you, we went in about a 2.5, maybe a 2 hour period, we ate probably four different hamburger diners, and we went in also to some place that had some.
I was talking about Iowa, you know, because I was in Iowa, you know, my girlfriend's from Iowa, and I noticed this burger is made right, and they do a lot of loose hamburger.
Now that's a loose meat burger.
Yeah, I mean, it's really broken up.
That's a loose meat.
But I noticed they had like the walking taco there, and their burgers were they're not full. They were spread out everywhere, chopped up. You know, that was a totally different style there in Iowa.
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually kind of nice. You know, there's always this idea that, you know, McDonald's has homogenized, or we have this homogenized food culture. But actually, when you start going out and beyond, let's say, major metropolitan areas like Chicago,
mm-hmm.
you find all these distinctive food things that you think have vanished, but they haven't. They're still being there, they're still being cherished, but on a very local scale.
Hmm. Have you visited Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Well, let me put it this way. Sometimes it's far easier. I happen to live in a community that is smack in between the Wisconsin border and Chicago.
Okay.
25 miles north of Chicago. So Milwaukee sometimes is easier to go to than Chicago.
See, that's why we have you on, Kathy, because you know the Midwest. You can break down the Midwest for us about the foods there. Tell us about cheese there. I mean, so when you go to, because, you know, they have the Green Bay Packers, the Cheeseheads. So when you go to Milwaukee, it's just cheese. But that's just a lot of cheese. There's cheese shops everywhere, because that's where the cheese comes from, you know.
Well, and actually they regained their crown as a major cheese producer, because it's been going back and forth between California, you know, the production, and Wisconsin, and I think they recently got back their crown again for being the major producer, but, you know, these things vary with the year.
Ah, so there's like an inner competition going on between the two areas.
Well, no, there's just a volume of a production volume, and it just happens that California often outstrips Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, not by very, well, I don't know actually the quantities, but you know, they like, each wants to be the major cheese producer, and sometimes that definition shifts from year to year.
Well, they won it because they invented the cheese curds. You know what I mean? They won that.
Oh,
they won that.
And there's nothing better than a cheese curd, ultra fresh, squeaking on your teeth.
Yeah. So hands down, they are to me. You know, but California has their items too, but as far as cheese,
every place has its specialness.
Yeah, but you know, when I think of cheese, I think of, you know, how, you know, I was looking at this word, and I've seen Kramer on the Financial Times do it, and this word is actually a recipe, and it's called, the word is called, I got to say it right, booyah.
Ah, booyah.
Yeah, I like saying the word booyah. Catherine, go ahead and say the word. I gotta hear you say the word.
Yeah, booyah.
Yeah.
And some exclamation from time to time. It's actually a food.
It is.
And you can find that in Wisconsin. You find that in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a community meal.
I was.
And it has some, I would say, probably Burgu has some, you know, touches on this as well.
I mean, you hear the word a lot. It's like, I didn't know. I had to look it up. And you can make your own salad booyah, right? You put different...
You make it with whatever you have available to you. You know, it's kind of like the stone soup of stews. You know, you start with the basic recipe, and then, well, you have that available, great, throw it in. Of course, I'm sure there's purists who would quake at what I just said, and they have their recipe. And you know, it's kind of like meatloaf. They had their way of making it, and that's the best way, and certainly I'm not going to quarrel with anybody.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know Cincinnati, they have the chili. In Cleveland, I noticed there was a lot of culture there, like a Polish, Greek. I mean, they had lots of culture there. A lot of Italian culture.
There's also a lot of unique fried chicken around that area.
In Cleveland,
In the Cleveland area, yeah. Cleveland, Akron, Ohio.
And, you know, paninis, they have the sandwich, and they just have a lot of, if you're in Cleveland, I mean, on the east side or west side, it's very diverse with different cultures coming with the cooking styles and everything, you know? You go to, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's. And they also have a wonderful farmers market that's been carrying on for a very long time, which is something we don't really enjoy here in Chicago. We have farmers markets, but it's not like permanent structures like you see there.
Ah.
Spends a lot of time documenting the food of the Volga Russians.
Mm.
And she has a Facebook page dedicated to this, and it's all these Germans who were brought to Russia, I think, like with Catherine the Great, but then got kicked out by another czar later on, and they're scattered all over the Midwest. In fact, I found some recently in Northwest Indiana.
Okay.
I'm running a shrimp farm, and his family. There's a lot of these like little Russian colonies. Especially when you get into the Dakotas, into Minnesota. But at the same time, there's some just over the Wisconsin border from me.
So you never know. You never know.
You just never know.
Well, Catherine, we had to have you on our show. And
somebody's talking about the Midwest, and he says, unlike some areas like New England, and you have the South, they consider themselves Southerners or Clevelanders first. The people of the Midwest consider themselves Americans first.
Yes, and they have shown that with just the food reaching all over America, from the Midwest, reaching everywhere.
All over the world.
Everywhere.
You get into the whole, soybeans and corn.
Yes, all I can say is booyah. Booyah.
Yes, booyah to
booyah,
you.
Booyah, yeah.
Have a good one. All right.
Thank you, Colin. Thank you. Thank you for being on our show, Kevin. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Well, welcome. We hope you enjoyed the interview that we had with Catherine in Chicago, Illinois, explaining everything. I wanted to just tell everybody, I was telling you guys earlier about a surprise we had, and this would happen. I got an email from Colorado, mind you. It was from Colorado. It said, hey, Brian, on Flavor Living, do you guys do taste tests on your show? Do you demo different new products? I said, no, we don't do that yet. I said, but that's a great idea. So we would like to do that. She said, yeah, I am from Colorado, and we sell hummus. We have hummus from Colorado. Not only just hummus, but different variety of hummus. I said, sure, I'll do it. 3 days, 4 days later, FedEx truck pulls up right here in Virginia. FedEx guy comes out. He goes, here's the box. Bam. You don't have to sign. Here, take it. So I open the box. And inside the box is hummus. I mean, different flavor hummus, about a total of between eight to 10 different variety of hummus. So here it is, our first show. We're going to do our first, you've heard of that when you're in school, you had show and tell. But we have invented here on Flavor Living, taste and tell. Yes, our taste and tell segment on our show. So every now and then, we're going to have another one next weekend. So every now and then, if we get new food items mailed to us or sent to us for us to try out and taste. And also, there's going to be other people testing it out for us, too. They're going to be our taste and tell reporters, in Virginia or outside. They're going to be also tasting and telling what it tastes like, just being honest. You know, so here in front of me, I've got three of the flavors. I've got, basically, I've got, and the name of the company, you guys, they're called Hope. Yes, Hope Foods. That's www.hopefoods.com. All right? And they specialize in hummus. They want everybody to start enjoying how hummus, just the different spreads. You know, their thinking is in Colorado because they deal handle as far as they work with farmers is that you have different vegetables in front of you, carrots, celery, cucumbers. You can dip that into different spreads. You know, while you're watching a football game or while you're reading a book, different types of different hummus spreads that they have. From Colorado, Boulder, Colorado, mind you. So here I've got in front of me, I've got three spreads, and I've got some crackers in front of me here, and I'm going to taste on the air. But first, let me have my theme music. 1 second. Okay, let me get my theme music here. Yeah, I got to have some good music. This is our first taste and tell segment, so I got to have some good music. Okay, all right. And here we are. We're back. So I've got in front of me. Organic spread, Hope Foods, dark chocolate coconut. I've got here. I've got spicy avocado. I've got here. And I have sriracha. These are the three flavors that we have today. Now, there's more flavors that we're going to try here on our show next week. And we're going to try the other flavors. So we'll have like three shows until another company sends us another food item to taste on our taste and tell segment here. So let me try here. I'm going to try the dark chocolate. Let me get the dark chocolate here. Okay, let me get this out here. All right, here, let me put this here. Dark chocolate. Here we go. This is the first time here. And this is the first time I've tried hummus, so this is the first time here. Okay, here we go. Okay. Mmm. Very good, very rich. Rich. When they say dark chocolate coconut, you could taste the coconut there. At the end, the coconut goes pow. That's rich. That's good. I like that. That's dark chocolate coconut. Hope Foods. That's real good. I like that. I'm gonna put that on the side there because I like that one. All right, now. The next one I'm going to try is the spicy avocado. Okay, let me go ahead and dip that in there. Go ahead, hold up. Get a little nice help in there. Ooh. Now that's really good. I can see me watching the football games on that. When our team makes the playoffs, I can see me getting a lot of that. Spicy avocado, Hope, hummus. I like that. I like it. Now, with each of the, excuse me, I'm in French over here. That was good. I had to pause. That was real good. All right. Now the next one. Whoa, that was really good. That's what they say, spicy avocado. That's really good. Right now, the next one that we have is sriracha, and I'm going to try this one here. This has no introduction because you know this is a popular flavor. So can you imagine on hummus here? Let me try this one here. Wow. How do they do that? It just tastes just like sriracha. How do they do it? And I'm going to be honest. That one has a nice kick too. I'm going to be honest now. If it doesn't taste well, I'll say, hey, that's not good. But if it's good, I'll give it a thumbs up. And they sent also recipe cards with it for each one. And if you go to our website, I'll have a picture of the recipe with each of the spreads, the hummus spreads here, you know. So they have lots of different recipes for each of the spread that you can invent and try. But that was our first taste and tell. And I was being honest. I really like the avocados. That's avocado, spicy avocado And the sriracha, that was just really, that was good. Dark chocolate was good too. That was going, and that was in the right direction too. But wow, that, for the first time me trying hummus, I'm like, I had to be brave and just go for it. You know, cause they sent that to us the first time doing our taste and tell segment here on Flavor Living. But hey, listen, have a great week. Drive safe, eat well, and be safe, everyone, as you can, as your friends and family can, you know, and tune in for our show next week for more of The Flavor. And have a good week.